scripture reading this evening will be coming from Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Sam, you think you're always right. You're not perfect. You make mistakes. Why is it you think you're right and I'm wrong? You ever had someone say that to you? In the universe, don't you think about this? In the universe, when we think about this, there's two things which have sinned. What is it? Number one is obvious. Men. What's the other? Do you know? Angels. Angels and man has sinned. You can go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, and it points out to us that angels have sinned. Then Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is it today that is required to be the church of Christ? I think this is a lesson that our young people need, that each one of us needs in our life. What is it that's required for us to be the church of Christ? Or let's word that another way, because I know that offends people. So let's word it another way. What is required of us to be the church that Christ died for? We can hit common ground when we say that, because everybody wants to be a member of the church that Christ died for. So what's required when we think about that? We have to take, and that's why I started with, you think you're always right. We all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a one of us that's perfect, especially if you're looking at me right now, especially me. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. But you know that not all churches claim to be the church of Christ. I told a story sometime back, and I don't know if it was really happened or not. But a denomination was needing to build a new meeting place, a new church building. And they went out into the community and they started asking for donations. They went to a particular store owner and asked for a donation. And he said, I'll be glad to make a donation. Matter of fact, I'll give you $1,000 on one condition. The man was so excited because $1,000 was a big donation. He said, absolutely, what is that one stipulation? He said, you put on the sign, the Church of Christ meets here. Oh, no, no. No, we're not going to do that. He said, okay, I'll still give you $1,000. If you will put on that sign, the Church of Christ does not meet here. I don't say that to hurt anyone. But when you look at it that way, it makes you open your eyes. I'm not standing up here tonight to condemn anyone. I'm standing up here tonight to instill in our minds and in our hearts that we want to be the church that Christ died for. And we always got to hold true to that. And we've got to take that and we've got to live it each day of our life. And we have got to, listen, we have got to fight to keep ourselves the church that Christ died for. Because there are a lot, many, most in the world today that is changing their beliefs. Whether they started off right or whether they were wrong, they're changing their beliefs. Even the church of Christ is changing in a lot of places. And we have got to fight to hold on to what is right and what is true and be that church that Christ died for, because we need that and we want that in our life. You know, people who believe the Bible believe the importance of the church. Do you believe that? People that believe the Bible believe the importance of the church. It's a necessary. If we're going to believe the Bible and we're going to read the Bible and we're going to study and we're going to apply these things and we're going to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. If I'm going to take this Bible that I hold in my hands and I say this is true and it's important, I on the other hand have to say the church is true and the church is important because they are the same. Well, how is that? Well, you can go to John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What's he talking about there? What is the Scripture saying there when you turn to John chapter 1? Who was the Word? The Word was Jesus. He was there in the very beginning. He was there part of creation. He's always been just like God the Father. And then you read on down, I think it's verse 14, and it says, "He became flesh. And he dwelt among us." So the Word has always been. It was made flesh and it dwelt among us. And then he went, the Word, he went to the cross. And he carried the sin. We started off talking about we've all sinned and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. He has carried that sin to the cross. And it was nailed there. It was nailed on that cross. And Ephesians chapter 1. If you'll look there, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and verse 23. It says, "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Then you flip over the next page in your Bible, probably in chapter 4, should be the next page, in verse 4, it says, "There's one body." And it ties in when you look at the first chapter being the body and the church being the one. If there's one body, then there's one church. Then you flip over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Now listen to this. "And he is the Savior of the body." He's the Savior of the church. He is the church. It's his body. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read on the day of Pentecost, when the church was established, about 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. Then you get down to verse 47. It says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The saved are going in the church. The saved's in the body of Christ. So when we talk about a name and we think about a name on a building, the name there is not near as important as the idea and the thought and the people being a member of the church that Christ died for. Therefore, it becomes his body and his church. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 tells us that he purchased this church with what? With his own blood. By all rights, he owns it. It's not for me or anyone else to change it. You can't give anything else greater than your life. Once we lay down our life, we have given all that we can give. There was a song many years ago, if I'd thought about it before I got up here, I could have told you who sang it. Some gave all and all. Some gave all and some, I don't know how it went.
All gave some gave all.
That's why I like the front row.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus. And that was a very meaningful song when we heard that song and played on the radio. It was talking about sacrifice. All gave some. When we think about that song, those people who fought all gave a part of them, but some gave all. What else is it to give? Nothing. By all rights, the church is Jesus's. People ask me all the time, do you have a church? No, I don't. I know what they mean when they ask me. They mean, am I preaching at a church? But I don't have a church. This is not my church. It's the Lord's church. He bought it. When we think about the church, there's another thing we have to take in consideration. That is, God is to be glorified in the church. Not man, not me, not you, not the world, not the thinking of the United States, not anything. God is to be glorified. You ever thought about what the word means? It says to make glorious by bestowing honor, praise, to elevate, to represent glorious. The change today is that we're looking to glorify ourselves. Many people are. We come together, not here, but many come together today and they've got full-blown bands, even in the church. They've got key singers that stand up that can sing real pretty and they'll spotlight them. They've got women leading in the church. Women preachers, pastors, elders, deacons, wherever you want to go with that conversation, they have gone to the point and people will argue that point. And you talk to very many people, because I do, you're going to get in that discussion. That times have changed. We're living in 2016 now. And we can't hold women back. And we can't continue to do the things that's been done for years and years and years, all the way back to the word that we're talking about here. God had a plan. What makes people change those things? It's because we look to glorify ourselves or each other instead of God. God is the one to be glorified. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and verse 21 points out that God is to be glorified in the church. Whose is it? It's Jesus's. And we glorify him by following his teachings. Tonight I've got 3 points that I want to make, and the introduction's been a lot longer than the lesson will be, I promise. So don't go to sleep on me. It's warm in here and I'm sleepy. What does it take for a group of religious people to really be the Church of Christ? Number one, we have to have recognition for the headship of Christ. We got to recognize that Christ is the head of the church. And it's the most important thing to us, that it's his church and he is in charge. We have to follow Christ, follow his word. You know, the true church is made up of people who do not rebel against Christ. They obey him. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm going to do and say and think and stumble and fall and offend and different things I'm going to do in my life. But I'm not rebelling against Christ. When we take and we close this book and we say we're not going to follow this anymore because times have changed, we're going to lay this right here. It's good reference material. That's what it is. We're going to keep this in our library in case we ever want to reference it again. It'll be there for us, but we're not going to abide by this any longer. We have at that point decided that we're going to rebel against Christ. We're not worried about obeying him anymore. Even in the church today, we can be saved without obeying the gospel. There are people, preachers, and congregations throughout the brotherhood today. Actually, they're not in the brotherhood anymore because I think we can cease to be the church that Christ died for. They call themselves the church of Christ, and they are teaching that we don't even have to recognize Christ as a head anymore because they've taken and they've closed their Bible and says baptism's not even necessary any longer. It was on the day of Pentecost, but it's not today. Now, brethren, I don't know about you, but I've got a problem with that. I've got a problem with when Peter told them on the day of Pentecost, if you want to be saved, you got to turn away from your sins, you got to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And we read a few minutes ago the very last verse of Acts chapter 2, and he added to the church daily, such as should be saved. But times have changed. Number two, if we want to be that group of people that is the church of Christ, we have to respect the New Testament of Christ. You know, there's no way that we can respect Jesus as the head of the church apart from the response to His New Testament. We all know people that believe in God and will talk about Jesus and sing Jesus' praises, but yet they don't have time for Him. We have time at Christmas. I'm not talking about attendance. I promise you, that's not even on my mind. But we think about Jesus on December the 25th. Because we've been told by the world that that is His birthday. And people will recognize Him and say, I love Jesus. And they never think about worship to God. They never think about worshiping Him. They never think about obeying Him. They never think about studying and reading the Bible. They just say, yes, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. But Jesus says, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It makes it difficult, doesn't it? It makes it difficult for us to think about, yes, I love the Lord, but I'm not willing to obey Him. We've got to do the will of our Father in heaven. And number three, and finally, our attitude of obedience to Christ is so very important if we really want to be the church that Christ died for. And there's three areas we need to think about when we think about attitude toward obedience. Number one is that of worship. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus says this, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me. Listen, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What did I say a few minutes ago? Too many people's closing the Bible and saying we're going to keep that if we ever need it. And folks, a lot of people's got way off track now. They've got to the point, I believe. Instead of going to the Scripture and saying, God teaches us this. Think about the words of Jesus. When we think about our attitude, especially when it comes to worship, What does Jesus want from us? You know, David brought up a good point this morning in class, and he asked a question. I started to respond, but I hate to throw in my two cents worth too many times. I said a long time ago here, God wants three things from us. And that's all. He wants us to obey Him. He wants us to worship Him. And He wants us to evangelize. That's the three. That's it in a nutshell. That's all God wants from us is you obey me, you worship me, and you evangelize. You tell the whole world what you know. And that's what He wants from us. But in John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Folks, that eliminates an awful, awful lot of worship. that we're doing it right. And we come here with the right attitude. Number two, our attitude of obedience to Christ is in life. You know, most religious people will surely agree with these things that we're talking about today. But God's people, the Lord's church, when we think about our responsibility, our duty to the Lord and to the church, we have got to, number one, live faithful to God. We have got to be dedicated to God. And tonight, if we have something in our life that's keeping us from being in the right relationship with God, take it out of your life today. Don't just keep on living, hoping that you'll slide by, hoping you'll slip in, hoping God will overlook it. You know, I forgot a lot of things in my life that I've done. Stan, y'all know Stan Shelton. He'll call me. Man, he's got a memory like nobody. He'll call me and he'll see something or something will happen. He'll hear on the radio. He'll call and he'll be laughing. He says, "Hey, Biggin, you remember when?" He'll go to tell this long story. "No, Stan, I don't. I can't believe you don't remember that." "No, I don't remember it. I have a tendency to forget." Don't be in your life that you hope that just because you have forgotten it or you hope God will forget it. Make your life right with God. And then the third thing, our attitude in obedience. Lots and lots of argument comes into play when we go to talking about what we have to do to be saved. Some people will tell you, and they teach, that you have to accept Jesus in your heart and you'll be saved. Well, I'm telling you tonight, you have to accept Jesus in your heart. You've got to. When we hear God's word, and here can be reading it, preaching, singing, anything, when the word of God, Christ, when we hear the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and we hear the scriptures proclaimed in whatever form that is, when we hear that, we have to accept it. Have to accept it as a truth. And that truth should burn in our hearts. What's the word they use in Acts chapter 2? They were pricked in their heart. When it digs in, isn't it? It digs in to the point, I can't let go of this. I can't forget this. I can't push this away. This is in my heart and I've got to deal with it right now. That's where they were in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 38. They had just asked in verse 37, "What have we got to do to be saved?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Tonight, let us strive to be the church of Christ. This involves more than merely calling ourselves by the name. It's more than just calling yourself that. It's a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of life, a change of attitude. Tonight we have an opportunity. An opportunity to be a member of the church that Christ died for. His blood was shed. His body was nailed to the cross for our sins. We're about to sing a song, "Prepare to Meet Thy God." If the Lord comes back tonight, will you regret it? That's really the question that needs to be answered. If the Lord comes tonight, will you regret His coming? Or can you honestly say when you leave this building tonight, "I'm ready And I'm hoping that the Lord comes. It'd be a bad thing to look up and regret that the one that died on the cross for my sins is on his way and I wished he was not. It'd be a hard thing. If you're not a Christian, I'm begging with you tonight. As soon as the song gets started, step out of the aisle. Come down here, confess your faith, and be baptized for remission of your sins. If you're unfaithful to God, come forward, confessing your sins. Let us pray with you and for you. And that blood of Christ will cleanse you all over again if you truly repent of those sins. A lot of things today being taught. But if you're going to hold this book up, we got to live by this book. Won't you come while we sing?